Wednesday, June the 22nd, 2022. I will call the meeting, the annual public meeting of the Village of Chester to order. Done. Now, you have, Marilyn, do you have a copy of the agenda? Oh, okay, good. Welcome all. And thank you for joining us this evening. For those who don't know us, let me introduce. On my far left is Greg Conran, Deputy Chief of the Chester Volunteer Fire Department. Deputy Chief Jared McDonald, Chester Volunteer Fire Department. Lawrence Lake, Morse Brewster Lake, Auditors. Martin Hiltz. Michael Heisler, Jeff Conrad, and Maxine Vino, our secretary and recording our administrative assistant and recording secretary. Jeff is our interim clerk treasurer. And I'm Nancy Hatch. I would like to begin my report by paying tribute to our dear friend and colleague, Bill Noss. Bill was the chair of the Village Commission at the time of his passing in January. He epitomized what it meant to be a villager, was known and respected for his commitment to fair treatment and concern for all in everyday life. And in every aspect of village governance. He will forever be remembered as a man with great dreams for the village, the Lido, the Chester Volunteer Fire Department, and the best ever Santa. Thank you, Bill. Since our last annual public meeting, I forgot to review the agenda, the commission has faced a few extraordinary challenges. The ever-present COVID-19 and the continuance of a provincial state of emergency hampered our ability to meet in the most optimal way in person. A request for a judicial review of the July election resulted in no decision. We lost one voice at the table when Commissioner Grant resigned her seat on the commission at the end of the October meeting, to run for the District 3 council vacancy. We gained a valuable voice and expertise with the acclamation of Mike Dockrell, CPA, CA, in December. Due to illness plus complications of COVID-19, Mike made the decision to resign from the commission in April of 22. Undaunted by these challenges, the commission moved forward with day-to-day governance. In March, we separated the operating reserve fund into two distinct reserves based on the original sources of funding. Based on non-consolidated budget surpluses, it was determined 33% of the total amount would be deposited into a general government reserve fund and 63% of the total amount would be deposited into a fire reserve fund. Our auditor will prepare a multi-year review to confirm exactly what these amounts should be. The Windjammer Motel is being demolished to make way for a new centrally located fire station. This new building will be as green and energy efficient as funding will allow, reduce the costs for replacement apparatus, improve health and safety conditions for the firefighters, and lessen the response time for firefighters to get to the station. All stakeholders will be given opportunities for input and will be kept informed regarding plans, costs, funding, construction dates, etc., when that information becomes available. In addition to some capital improvements and routine maintenance of the pool, the Lido pool and public washroom, preparing for this summer's use, tending to some broken decorative streetlights along Water Street, still a work in progress, replacing those lights in the village which were non-operational, providing for flower baskets and Christmas wreaths. The Village Commission participated in long-range strategic planning workshops with municipal affairs, organized by our municipal advisor, Marilyn Hay. We had planned to coordinate village strategic planning with the 2019 EDM Village of Chester Priority Planning Report this past spring, but we opted to wait until we had five commissioners at the table. As the title of the report suggests, this is and should be a priority for the new commission. Perhaps the most significant accomplishment this year was the signing of a 20-year joint fire services agreement between the village and the municipality. Among other things, the agreement provides for a committee to oversee operating and capital budgeting, joint ownership of all capital assets, with the exception of the current fire hall, and guarantees the right of ratepayers inside and outside the village to provide input as well as receive accountability regarding the delivery of fire service by the CVFD. While there may be some initial hiccups adapting to the new format, I am confident the incoming commission will continue to maintain the same spirit of collaboration, cooperation, and communication with MODC, the CVFD, and those who receive the service, as has been established these last few years. As this year comes to a close, we thank Joanne Grant, Mike Dockrell, and Dennis Edgerty for their contributions to the commission and wish them all the best for good health and happiness in the future. Thank you to our handyman, Paul Mulrooney. Wake up, Paul. Who knows practically everything about all aspects of maintenance and then some. Thank you, Maxine Dino, for keeping the ship afloat in all types of weather. Thank you, Darcy Stevens, for ensuring all children have an opportunity to learn to swim. Charlotte Butler and Sherry Rodenizer ensured our school children crossed Duke Street safely, rain and shine. Thanks to MODC counselors Church, Vino, Wells, and the Chester Volunteer Fire Department for your willingness to listen to our concerns and collaborate with us on issues of importance to all of us. Thank you, Jeff Conrad, who came to us at our time of need. And finally, thank you, Michael Heisler and Martin Hiltz, for serving the village over the last 3 years. The value of your perspectives and contributions to commission governance has been immeasurable. A new year will begin in less than a week. I wish those elected to the commission the strength to withstand the negativity of a few, the courage to stand for that which provides for the greater good of the village, the municipality, and the CVFD, and the conviction to lead our great village towards a positive future. Respectfully, Nancy Hatch. I don't need a motion, do I?
I don't think so.
Just submitted. Okay. Now, if you don't mind, we'll back up and review and approve the agenda. Item 2.0. May I have a motion, please?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Martin. Seconder. Thank you, Michael. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Good. Now, we'll skip over to the Clerk Treasurer's report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this annual report is primarily based on the work done by my predecessor, the previous Clerk Treasurer, Dennis Edgerty, who left the village on April 27th, 2022. Overall, I would say the village had a very good year and continued to advance the priorities of the Commission and of residents. As Nancy mentioned, due to COVID, 2021-22 was again a challenging year for staff, with periods that the office was closed and both work and meetings had to take place from home. The report of the chair included many of the significant accomplishments, and I would just add from what I can see That in 21-22, the commission did a great job in terms of things like operating the public washrooms, which were open last year from June through to Labor Day, cleaned once a day through the week and twice on weekends, with a few impacts from COVID, of course, through the course of the summer. They contracted for on-site security at the pool overnight during Chester Race Week, which has happened the last few years due to some damage that was caused a number of years ago. They operated the emergency health services building, which is next to the fire hall. They provide rodent control services in public areas of the village and contract for the weekly green bin collection services from June through to September. With regard to fire services, staff at the village office continue to provide administrative support to the volunteer fire department and their operations. In addition to the daily work that Maxine does in terms of administering accounts payable and receivable, significant in 21-22 has been the work related to the property for the new fire hall building. So acquisition of the new property at the former Windjammer Motel site, an asbestos assessment on the site, and a request for proposal for both abatement and building demolition, all were completed in 21-22. As you all know, the village is now in its annual election cycle. So there are four commissioner appointments available at the moment, which is unusual because we have two due to the end of terms, one due to a resignation, and one due to the unfortunate death that Nancy mentioned. There are two positions with end dates in 2025, one with an end date in 2024, and one with an end date in 2023. The village has had tremendous interest in the election, with eight candidates vying for the four available seats, and nice to see some of you here tonight. As you know, the advance poll will be Saturday, June 25th at the village office, 11 to 7. Election day is Tuesday, June 28th, 9 to 7, also at the village office. And this year, because we have four positions, voters may vote for no more than four candidates and only once for each candidate. And ballots with less than four votes are valid. So we will have some instruction papers at the voting site, and we'll be able to explain to people as they come in. You can vote for one or two or three or four, but not more than four, and not more than once for any one of the people on the ballot. So we'll try and make that as clear as we possibly can. Following the closing of the poll on election day, commissioner positions will be awarded to the four candidates receiving the most votes in the election. The candidates with the greatest and second greatest number of votes shall be appointed to the position with an end date in 2025, the third greatest number of votes to the position with an end date in 2024, and the fourth greatest number votes to a position with an end date in 2023. Should there be any tie votes that would influence candidate placement, we'll break those with the drawing of lots. On the financial side, the village is in very good shape. They finished the past fiscal year in good fiscal health with a surplus of $68,000 based on revenue of $988,000 against expenses of $920,000. Revenue came in slightly higher than forecast, so almost $8,000 more in revenue, and that was primarily due to modest increases at the final year-end payment and including the payment of grants in lieu in taxes, which don't come in until the very last payment of the year. So that brought the estimate up a little bit. Expenditures were down $57,766 overall, including $15,000 in general government and $43,000 at the fire department. However, many of those reduced expenses were driven by ongoing issues with COVID, such as on the community side, we didn't get the request for supports from community organizations because they didn't run all the events that they normally might do. We didn't pay as much for crossing guards because schools were closed for COVID during certain periods. So some of those costs, and for the fire department, things like the availability of training. Their training budget was really underutilized because courses just weren't available during COVID. And then associated supply chain issues. So on the fire department side, for example, couldn't access bunker gear, couldn't get certain personal protective equipment. So the cost came in under what was forecast. But I point those out because it's worth noting that in the 22-23 budget, we would expect those costs to come back into the budget and in fact might be increased because some of the things that were backlogged last year will now come up this year as well as this year's normal requirement. So because we were under last year, it does not necessarily inflect that we have that much flexibility in the coming budget. Significant financial activity in 21-22 included taking $45,000 from the Lido Pool Reserve to pay for concrete renovations in the pool, paying $50,000 down on the fire apparatus loan that had been made, and investing $150,000 in the fire apparatus reserve towards future equipment purchases. The village reserves are in good shape, with more than $1.3 million invested across six reserve areas, the largest of those being fire apparatus, which has a current balance of $969,236. So the largest reserve is in the fire apparatus reserve side. Due to delays caused by replacing the previous clerk treasurer and the timing of it all, the 22-23 budget was not completed prior to this annual meeting. However, the village is in very good fiscal condition for the year, and the tax rate is expected to remain the same as it has been for the last 5 years, 15.17 cents per $100 of assessment within the village, and a fire tax rate for outside the fire area and the fire boat area of 7.4 cents per $100 of assessment. So those are the same rates that have been in place for a number of years. The village total residential and commercial assessment for 2022 is $424,996,300, while the outside fire and fire boat areas combine for an assessment total of $467,008,800, which gives us projected combined general and fire tax revenues that would go up by $77,000 for a total tax in 22-23 of $980,029. And last year, worth noting that the village offered exemptions for low-income residents and eligible nonprofit agencies, which amounted to just under $2,000. And that would be my report.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Lawrence.
Okay, I'll just quickly go over the audited financial statements. Start on the independent auditor's report. I don't know if you guys have copies. Technically, you guys have copies, but I guess I'll just reread it to you.
Speak so, slowly, please.
Sure. So, in our opinion, the company consolidated financial statements present fairly in all material respects. The financial position of the village of Chester at March 31, 2022, with all those operations and changes in net financial assets. For the year then ended in accordance with Canadian public sector accounting standards. So it's a clean audit opinion. Page 3 is the consolidated statement of financial activities. For the year, revenue was down overall slightly, 952 versus 964, and expenses were up 820 versus 724 for an annual surplus of $131,990 overall. Page 4 is a consolidated statement of financial position. At the end of the year, there was $225,000 in cash and $1.3 million in investments, which is mostly in the reserve. Payables were drastically lower than the prior year. Last year, the amount owing for the land was outstanding at $700,000, and this year it's just the normal trade payables, so payables at the end of this year were only about $45,000. The net financial assets increased from $1.3 million to $1.5 million, and page 5 of the statements explains that change, so I'll go over that at that point. Property and equipment went up by about $105,000 and then went down by the amortization of $200,000. So at the end of the year, there's $2 million roughly as a net book value of property and equipment. The surplus is split into three parts. The reserves went down by $212,000, investment capital assets went up by $405,000, and then the accumulated surplus decreased by $60,000 for an overall surplus increase of $131,000. Page 5 is the consolidated statement of change in net financial assets. So we start with our surplus of $131,000. Tangible capital purchases were $108,000, add-back amortization of $204,000. Your net financial assets increased by $227,000. And at the end of the year, there was $1.5 million in net financial assets. And what that number represents is if you have to pay all your liabilities off, how much would be left? So you know, if you have $1.5 million left after everything's paid that is a liability, then you're in good shape. Page 6 is the consolidated statement of financial position or the cash flow statement. We start with the surplus of $131,000. We add back the non-cash amortization and loss on disposal. And then after changes in working capital, you have a minus 266, and that's mainly due to the large payable being paid during the year. Investments were completely matured and then reinvested. So there's $1.1 million of investments that matured and then $1.3 million of investments invested. So overall cash decreased by $551,000, and at the end of the year there's $225,000 on hand versus $776,000 last year. But the amount was higher last year due to investments being cashed in order to pay that payable for the land in the current year. The next few pages are the notes to the financial statements. They have the accounting policies that the village follows. I'm not going to go through the details of those, but and no one has anything to follow along with, so we'll stick to just the consolidated. So, but if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer. So.
Any questions? Thank you, Lawrence. May I have a motion to accept the auditor's report, please? Thank you, Michael. Second. Martin. Thanks. In favor?
Aye.
Done. Thank you. Greg, will you be giving the
yes,
report?
Chief Stevens is unable to attend tonight, so you're requesting myself and E.C. McDonald do his report. The Chester Volunteer Fire Department has had a very busy 2021-2022. COVID-19 has been an undeniable hurdle in the delivery of public services, and the CVFD was not immune. COVID tested the CVFD in many ways, including operationally, in training, and even the simple interaction of our members. It's nice that we're getting back to seeing people in person again. The CVFD responded to 155 incidents in this last fiscal year. January was an especially busy month as we responded to 35 calls, including a structure fire after a Halloween blizzard. As a result of ongoing challenges with EHS, CVFD membership saw need in January to help our community by upgrading our response status with EHS, making us more available to assist when ambulances were delayed in responding. As a result, we have seen an increased number of medical calls, but have also seen an increase in fire calls. Structure fires, vehicle fires, wildfires, and mutual aid calls to our neighboring departments and other municipalities along the South Shore and Enhanced County. The CVFD has earned a reputation for professionalism, efficacy, efficiency, and safety. Thankfully, we have had an increase in recruitment, which has not been the case in previous years and is a pleasure to report. The CVFD has accepted 5 new members to its ranks this year. They are joining 4 other members that signed the active member role in the past 2 years. And the entire group of probationary members will be commencing National Fire Protection Association Curriculum Level 1 Firefighting starting this weekend, June 25th, 2022. Needless to say, we are very pleased that new residents to our community are choosing to volunteer with the CVFD as a means to contribute and give back to their new home. We recognize that very few other departments are attracting new members, and we've been able to do this in the past year, even though the COVID period of 2021 and 2020 was so challenging. For this, we are grateful. Despite COVID, we have been able to adhere to a training schedule, which at times meant training online. All members agree, though, that in-person training remains our best means to develop and maintain our skills. We have been successful in meeting our seasonal objectives this year. A number of members have successfully pursued individual training through the Nova Scotia Firefighter School and other organizations. And we have also initiated the development of new skill sets, such as high angle rescue, which 10 members took part in this past autumn. The membership continues to take pride in the apparatus. Apparatus, like the human resources of the department, are admired and in demand for what they bring to the emergency scene. This recognition is especially true for 541, which is known for its pumping capacity, remains strategically important to the fire plan of our community, and its maintenance is of paramount importance. There were mechanical issues with it this past year, solutions for which were successfully achieved through cooperation with the CVFD and the Commission. The CVFD is happy to see the new fire hall project moving forward, with the demolition of the former Windjammer Motel underway. On behalf of the entire membership, thank you to Maxine Vino for her cooperation and support as the CVFD transitioned to its new leadership. It was greatly appreciated. Thank you to Jeff Conrad, who recently joined the Village Commissioner as Clerk Treasurer, for his assistance. And thank you to the Commission. It was a difficult year for commissioners, including the loss of their colleague Bill Knotts, but the CVFD recognizes the service you provide and the sacrifices you make for your community. In closing, the CVFD looks ahead with optimism to the coming years. As we all move forward, guided by the new 20-year agreement between the village and the municipality of the District of Chester and the new structure that comes with it. Respectfully submitted on behalf of the officers and firefighters of the Chester Volunteer Fire Department, Cody Stevens, Chief.
Thank you, DC Conrad. Conron.
You're welcome.
Yes.
And talking with a tie on is never enjoyable.
Do you want a motion to accept that report? But thank you very much for the report. Okay.
Well, I have both the legal pool report and on behalf of Darcy Stevens, I have the swim program report.
So the legal pool report, pretty straightforward. So 2021-22, the village ran the Lido pool, which included undertaking $45,000 in major repair work to the concrete at the pool, maintained the public areas at the Lido, the jib lot as open spaces for residential or for residents and visitors, ensured litter was picked up at the pool and around the Lido and Parade Square, had flower gardens in the area weeded, top dressed, and maintained through the summer. And as Nancy said in her remarks, thanks to the hard work of Paul, we're really able to advance great service at the pool through the summer. He had me down this week and walked me through what it takes to keep the pool going on a day-to-day basis, and it's pretty significant amount of work that goes into just keeping the pool open for residents to enjoy. I would say in looking forward, the summer of 2022 is proving to be more of a challenge, particularly with regard to staffing levels at the pool. Lifeguards are in short supply across the country, and from what I read online, across North America, primarily because during COVID they didn't turn out many lifeguards, because training courses anywhere where recreation facilities were limited in numbers, they weren't able to put on lifeguard training. So at the moment we have one full-time lifeguard and two part-time lifeguards lined up, so we will, unless things change, not be able to offer full slate of offerings at the pool, but we are still pushing hard, and I had some positive conversations this afternoon with some local pool administrators who were thinking we might be able to do some things together. It's not set, but we're hoping. But we certainly have enough that we'll be able to open at least part-time and should see the operation of swimming lessons take place over the course of the summer. But very, very challenging in terms of finding lifeguards. So if any of you have friends and relatives coming home for a month in the summer that might have a little lifeguard training or like to work a couple weeks while they're in the neighborhood, if you know kids that are friends of friends, keep us in mind. We're open to any kind of creative process to get us enough lifeguards, because it'll not only be can the pool be open, it'll be what's the maximum capacity. If you only have one certified lifeguard, we're limited to 40 people in the pool at a time. So days where we could have two, you can have 75 or 80. Days where there's only one, we're going to have to limit the number of people. So we'll be limited in hours and limited in capacity if we can't figure everything out. But we remain hopeful. On the swim report program, so this is read on behalf of Darcy Stevens. Good evening, commissioners, ladies and gentlemen. Another year has flown by and we are getting ready for another summer of swim lessons at the Lido. Summer 2021 was a good one, even with COVID. We were so pleased to have Brianna McDonald as our instructor, and she will be returning again this summer. We are now offering the life-saving swim program this summer, as Red Cross will be discontinuing the Red Cross swim program at the end of 2022. Brianna has completed the update to teach the life-saving program. We only have one instructor, as they are in short supply this summer. This year, we are hoping to do another barbecue as well as a swimathon. As some of you may know, the swim program is going to be one of the beneficiaries of the Golf for Charity in memory of Viola Hiltz. The support for the program has been great, as everyone sees the program as a very important part of the community and would like to see it keep going. The funds raised help to cover the program overhead and enable us to keep the fees reasonable so all can participate. Last summer, we had approximately 35 to 50 kids in each session, and this summer we will be offering three three-week-long sessions Monday to Friday, 9 to 12, and 2 to 5, with the exception that the first session will only be 13 days due to school still being in class June 27th and 28th. We'll be doing the same manner this summer, starting classes on June 29th. There are two classes every hour, and we limit class sizes to 4 to 6 children, depending on the ages. This approach provides better learning, teaching, and safety. We have younger children in the shallow end and older children in the deeper area. The cost will be $50 for each child this summer. Looking forward to a great summer and many more to come. Yours truly, Darcy Stevens, Chairperson, Chester District Swim Program.
Thank you, Jeff, for that report. And thank you, Darcy, for preparing the swim program report. Shall we move on to item 8?
Yes, and I can do that. So this is a financial item. Just before I touch this, I thought about the comment I made about there not being a budget this year. I wanted to make sure people understood there's budget documents, they're well developed, they're well in order. It's just a matter of there's a little fine tuning to do to it before it's ready to approve. So it's not that it's in disarray and there are no budget documents. There's a pretty close to final budget. It just didn't get quite over the line in time to get passed before tonight. So
thank you.
So that'll be work for the new commission. We'll put them right to work come July. The Municipal Government Act requires that at annual general meetings of villages that you review your expense claim policy, travel policy. In the village right now, it's a single policy called the reimbursement policy. So this is the approved existing policy with one exception. So if you look on the second page, you'll see that area that's blocked out in yellow. Prior to this, it said where car travel, and this is also used by the fire department, by the way. So it applies to village commissioners, it applies to staff, and it applies to members of the fire department. So where you see it blocked out in the yellow there, it used to say where car travel is indicated as the most suitable mode of transportation, an employee may use their own vehicle and be reimbursed at, and I think it's at the 2018 rate of, and it gave a certain rate.
I don't see anything blocked out.
Oh, yeah, that's because you printed yours from home. And
thank you.
There, you can look at mine.
Thanks.
So, the proposal is that rather than amend the policy every single year with a new rate, what most government agencies do, whether it's agencies, boards, commissions, villages, they refer back to a central document, and the standard one used is the provincial government policy. So on an annual basis, the provincial government has a little team that goes through and looks at things like amount of travel, cost of gas, price of cars, and they have a complicated formula, and some years it goes up 3 cents and some years it goes down 2 cents. But most public agencies simply refer back to that, and whatever the rate is that's approved on the provincial government site, that's the rate that they pay. So our proposal is to amend the policy to reflect what most other folks do, which is to just use the provincial rate. Other than that, it's the only change that we made this year. I think in a future year, we may add a little more criteria around what are things that you're allowed to travel for and what are the approved types of things that might be in there. But for this year, we're just proposing that we change that rate. So any comment from anyone on whether they're concerned about that or not? Seeing none. We need a motion to approve the reimbursement policy.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. So, may I?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second.
And those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you, Jeff. Well, that seems to be the end of the page. Are there any questions? Comments? Concerns?
Question about swimming, and I don't know if it's an appropriate time, but say you're limited by teachers and staff, and I know, like, I have friends who have come down with 10 talent with their kids because they thought it was such a fabulous program and reasonably priced. What if you're, would that ever be a consideration that we would limit it to village children beforehand, do you think? You know, if we don't have enough teachers or enough classes.
Now, it's not the teaching staff that we have a problem with, it's the lifeguards.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, just for regular swimming.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Understood. Thank you.
Yep.
So are you suggesting the regular swim then could be curtailed greatly?
could be. We may have days of the week which we're not able to be open because we don't have enough lifeguards.
So
and we during public swim, we may have to limit the number of people in the pool to 40.
Okay, so many days, and I'm sure you've been told this, there'll be a really hot day. There'll be three kids in the pool that are getting lessons, and they're all down in front of the building. But there's two-thirds of the pool that's vacant. Is there not a reason why a floating buoy or something could be put across from maybe the main steps to the gate, whatever you call the drainage thing, and allow, especially if there's a lifeguard, to have public swim up the other end of the pool? Could they not share the space?
Do you want me to answer that?
That is a good question. And there are two points of view,
okay.
Opposite points of view.
Probably.
I would say a little bit more negotiating needs to go on. I personally don't see a reason why people cannot swim in the area that is not being used for teaching, mm-hmm. providing they're not distracting the kids who are learning.
The lessons, yeah.
So that's, mm-hmm. would you Go like ahead. To add to
no,
that?
No, I think that's what I would have said. I'm new here, I've not been through the summer season yet, but having reviewed minutes of previous meetings and had some conversations with various folks, that seems to be the issue is, from an instructor's point of view, they're saying pools are loud, noisy places, kids run, jump, scream, holler, and even though you have a small group of six, it's really hard to instruct when there's a noisy crowd separated merely by a buoy 10 feet away from you. And then there are folks who say, is the pool fully utilized? If you've got this huge pool and there's six people in one end of it, surely there's a way. So those are the two sides of the coin, is the effectiveness of the instruction versus the utilization of the pool. This year, we do not have enough. In previous years, the pool has provided lifeguards to be on site even during swimming instruction time, because swimming instructors are not certified lifeguards. At least they don't have to be. They can be instructors and not be lifeguards. This year, we've already told the swim program, we will not be able to provide lifeguards during the morning swim program for sure, and possibly not during the afternoon. So even if we reached an agreement to split the pool, we don't have lifeguards to cover the public swim end this summer. But is it a conversation for the new commission and conversation to have with the district for next summer? Absolutely. That, my opinion, could be a conversation for sure.
But I think you're right. This year, we don't have the option because the instructor is instructing, and if others are in the pool, but nobody's guarding them.
So then if the lifeguard comes on duty at noon hour and they do their 8-hour day, mm-hmm. there mm-hmm. is going to be public swim at least at the end of after 5 o'clock.
Yes.
Yeah.
The weekdays.
Yes.
At the moment our thinking, and again, I hesitate to say because we don't have it nailed down, and gosh, we've got all the way till Wednesday of next week to keep working on this, but at the moment, our thinking is we would be closed Tuesday and Wednesday for public swim, open Thursday through Monday, so you would get weekend swims, lunchtime swims, and afternoon swims with lifeguard. But even that, we're close to the line some days, right? It depends on our primary lifeguard being able to work 5 days a week every week and not coming at some point and saying, I've got COVID, I've got a broken leg.
What happens to the assistant lifeguards?
My understanding is the pool's never had an assistant lifeguard, but it's one of the things we're looking at. Could we find one for this summer? Sometimes there's been two full lifeguards.
I thought you said we had one plus two.
We have two part-time.
Very casual.
They're very casual. So one of the guards from last summer is in training this summer for another organization, but has said, on my off days, I'm willing to come in and work a shift or two a week. And a lifeguard from 3 years ago who has a full-time job said, I'll come and work a few Sundays for you over the course of the summer. Okay. So we've got one guy who can work 5 days a week, noon till 8,
yeah.
and then we can slot in those other two people where we can.
Okay.
Another option that we're pursuing is we could have an assistant lifeguard who would have a Bronze Cross and standard first aid, but can only work under the supervision of a full lifeguard. Okay. So if we could find an assistant lifeguard, that would allow us to at least, we wouldn't be able to open any more hours, but we would be able to bump up the capacity of the pool. So you can have 40 with a full lifeguard, you could add 25 to 30 more people in the pool if you also have an assistant on staff. We have not been able to find an assistant lifeguard, in part because that's the same qualification you need to be a swim instructor. So a lot of them are already booked into swim instruction. So
90 years ago, I got my Royal Life Saving Society bronze and bronze bar.
Well, that would be good.
There you go.
If you want, still active?
If you want to take the 4-hour recertification.
Oh, do you have to swim to do that? Because I don't do bathing suits.
So it's a challenge, right? Yeah, it's a challenge. So, but I mean, I spoke to the pool instructor in Bridgewater today, and they were not as affected by COVID as the big facilities in the city, just due to the size and the way their layout is. And they were actually able to pull off a lifeguard course, and they are graduating 8 lifeguards on Sunday. But he didn't know if they all had offers in hand yet or not. So he said, look, he said, once I have my needs filled, anybody that's left over, I'll be glad to give them the poster from you. So you never know, right? Like we are every day, Maxine and I are on the phone with somebody going, do you know, could you maybe, do you have any? We called the rec department and said, have you, they had somebody they had put through a bronze cross, so we've got a call into them. So, you know, it may come together and we'll get lucky and something will break our way. But right now, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. We've talked to Paul about maybe we could, because traditionally a lifeguard comes in early in the morning and does the pool maintenance and the water testing and all that. If anybody knows a student who would like to work for an hour every morning from 8 till 9 and come in and do that work, that's another way we could take some pressure off of lifeguards, so that we only use lifeguards for active swimming time. So if you know, it doesn't have to be a student, but it could be a student, but if you know somebody who would like to have an hour's work every morning for the summer, we'd love to hear from you.
Or an early riser.
That's right. I even called the fire department and said, can we borrow your student for an hour a day? But they don't have a student this summer. Haven't had in a number of years. So we're chasing. Yeah. We're chasing. I haven't given up yet.
Challenge.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, if we can find a student, would you guys like to work for a few hours a day?
We can certainly use all your busy air in there. So
okay.
All right, no more questions? Then I'll call the meeting adjourned at 7:14. Thank you.
Stop.